There is never a shortage of things to talk about with the weather. It's certainly one of the constants in our lives in some ways, but it changes certainly from one day to the next. It's anything but constant. A topic that always fascinates and often has some surprises in store for us as well. Steve Ackerman, director of the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies at UW-Madison, our guest now. He's also a professor in the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at the University of Wisconsin. And with us until 12:30 today to talk with you about weather and climate. So I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. Have you witnessed some interesting weather phenomena lately? Do you have some cool pictures that you can post on our Facebook page? At the Larry Mueller Show, we love those pictures, those photos. And if you've got some, I really hope that you'll post them. And call in. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you'd like, you can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And Steve, welcome back.
It's great to be here, and I'm confused because it's not Monday.
I know, and John's not here.
And John's not here. It's like, what? What? The world is upside down.
Oh, it's the holidays, you know? It's Christmas time. It's Hanukkah time. It's the New Year's coming. And
it's the end of the year, right?
And the Badgers are playing.
Badgers are playing, that's right. Yeah, in a warm climate.
Right. And, you know, we'll be there soon to see, watch that, too.
Oh, you're going down there?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
We're going to go for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, we've had some really cold weather in December.
Yeah, we've been, the entire state's been cold, below normal. Down in southern Wisconsin, probably about 5-6 degrees below normal. Up in northern part is more like 15 degrees below normal. So we've had a cold December.
I was looking at the weather forecast of the town of Barnes, which is in Bayfield County. We have a property up there, so I, you know, kind of with
buried
some other
in
folks.
Snow.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the lows, you know, and one of the lows for the coming week was 23 below. So
that's
cold.
That's cold. That's cold, right?
That's really,
and that's the, I'm guessing the high probably didn't get above zero.
Yeah, that's about it. And that's one of those where the spit freezes, you know it.
Yeah, right.
Halfway
that's right.
Out of your mouth. Oh man. So why? Or I mean, is it normal, or is it a little colder than usual?
It's definitely colder than normal. We've been having a pattern that's been set up, which just brings polar air down out of the Arctic, right over the up in Midwest and New England as well. I mean, they just got hit by an ice storm, which terrible ice storm they got.
Yeah, we had one like it in the 70s in the southern Wisconsin. I remember well. We were like, I think about a week without power.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, that's
a long time.
That's a long time in wintertime. At least you can put your food outside.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having a freezer. But
Yeah. They said, keep your freezer shut. Don't open that door.
Right.
Keep looking at it because it's going to melt a lot faster. Oh, yes. That was. But they're getting what we had, you know, back then. Or probably there's been other times here in Wisconsin where we've had it too. But
yeah, we had some freezing rain just last week.
Yeah.
Not nearly as thick where it was bringing down anything, but it certainly made roads slippery.
Lakes froze over very early in some parts of the state. What governs that?
Yeah, that's the cold weather. Having cold weather, and it was cloudy through a lot of December as well. And so Lake Mendota, for example, typically freezes on average around December 21st, around there. And, yeah, we were froze a couple of weeks ago. Froze really quick. Really cold temperatures, particularly early in the season, allows that heat that's trapped in the water to get out of there.
And what about snow? It seems like at least in the southern part of the state, we got a lot more snow early in the month than usual, and it kind of stayed around, for sure.
Yeah, it stayed around. We have probably about 8 inches or so in most of southern Wisconsin. Most of Wisconsin has between 8 and 18 inches of snow. On the ground, sitting around. Not a record year by any means, but
Would probably keep our frost at more of a minimum than normal. Did we get the really cold temperatures before the
You know, I think we got the cold temperatures before the snow came down.
Yeah,
so the ground was frozen. I remember Ann, my wife, was trying to dig out some leaks and things, and it kind of got a little late.
And you were supervising, of course.
I was at home looking at when the ground was going to totally freeze.
Oh, man. Jeff and Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to say hello, and I have a kind of an observation that I've been watching. This year seems to be a pretty constant flow of the polar jet coming in our direction. Just wanted to mention that I grew up in California in the 70s. Or I was living in California in the 70s. I was already an adult, but I remember very distinctly the drought they had in the 1977, 78, 79 era. And I see a similar thing going on. The West Coast is going into the third year in a row with way below normal in the rainfall and snowfall. And guess what? We have that blocking high again out west, drawing that jet stream way up into the polar regions and bringing it down here. And the eastern two-thirds of the country in those years in the late 70s had some unbelievable winter weather, which we're really seeing right now, and more could be on the way. So I just wanted to get the comment on that. I see a similar pattern of what we had at that time frame.
Yeah, you know, I had moved out to Colorado in the summer of 76, and I remember that winter, 76, 77, 78, yeah, being really warm. And it was, the pattern was pretty much the same. We had this high pressure right over the Rockies, so all that cold air was coming out of the Arctic and hitting the upper Midwest. And yeah, I remember, because I didn't have a car when I moved out there, and I remember biking, like at 2 a.m, you know, in January, and not being cold, and thinking, boy, this is a great place to live.
And now, where there were blizzards in the Midwest, and the cold weather in those winters was really drastic in New England and along the East Coast. I just remember that so distinctly.
Yeah. When that jet gets set up, and this pattern does then get hard to break down, which is
and
why we've been so cold.
I don't see anything in the next 2 weeks to change it, do you?
No, we're going to be below normal in terms of temperature for the next 10, 12 days. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought that was an interesting thing when you move and live in different parts of the country and you see the bigger picture of the whole continent is affected by things such as that, you know, semi-permanent high out there. So that was my comment.
Yeah, that was a good comment. I mean, usually when some place is anomalously cold or anomalously hot, that means, you know, someplace else it's the flip-flop. It's the other side of the coin.
Jeff, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We had some great photos on my Facebook page already, but Ed sent a question on Facebook wondering why it gets colder just before dawn. The temperature always seems to drop right before dawn.
We've had a number of people observe that, and I find it really curious. And I think there's a couple of things that go on. One is it's not too much of a surprise in the sense that whether something cools down is a function of the energy gains versus the energy losses. And so just at dawn, even as the sun comes up, you start to increase your energy gains by absorbing some of that solar energy, and so does the ground and the air around it. But the losses are still exceeding the energy gains, and so the temperature does drop down. So physically, we kind of expect that relationship. I know in the past we've had a number of hunters come up and point it out, and there I think, one, it's an observation, and two, I think it's also a hope, you know, that they've been sitting there in the night, they got out there early, the sun's coming up, you're expecting it to get warm, and it doesn't quite warm up as fast as you want.
There you go. Well, that was a good question. I mean, it's one we've had before, but good one nevertheless. And we've got Daniel with a photo. I just want to mention this because, well, he sent two photos, actually. One, what he titled The Dog Days of December.
Dog Days of December, yep. Sun dogs. So this is that case where you have a very thin cloud in the sky or ice crystals near the ground. To either side of the sun, you have these things called what we call sun dogs or mock suns or perihelia is the technical term. And they're just bright spots that look like sun that... We call them sun dogs because they faithfully follow the sun, like a dog with its master as the sun goes up and down. Gorgeous picture. It's really hard to get a good shot.
Yeah, that's a really nice shot.
And you can just see the inner side of them is red. It's got a reddish tint to it, which is part of the refraction as the sun passes through the crystals and gets bent.
And he also set a kind of a cool photo with just a low sun angle, which you can get some, you know, you get some really nice photos.
Yeah, you can. When the sun is low in the sky, one thing that happens is that during the nighttime you've had things calm down.
Yeah.
And so this is why, you know, some of the great photographers get up really early in the morning to go out and get those nature pictures. Because as the sun goes up, you start putting stuff into the atmosphere. As things get heat up, human activity begins to increase. And so you don't get quite as clear a picture.
We've done, of course, probably half the state at least. We've been doing a little driving over the holidays here, Christmas and so forth, but just driving down to Watertown from Madison and looking at the trees and the frost, the hoar frost and so forth in the trees is just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really pretty when you get that frost on there. And if you have a slight wind too, then it'll cover one side of the tree more than the other side of the tree. And so you get this dichotomy of the dark green, you know, on a pine tree with the covered frost. It's gorgeous.
So that's just that there's more moisture in the air?
The moisture is in the air, and then once the ice crystals begin to form on a tree or an object, the relative humidity, we often talk about the relative humidity, and we often define it with respect to water, liquid water. It's actually different over ice. And so once you get ice crystals to form, it's a lot easier to get the water vapor molecules that are floating around in the air to condense onto that ice. And so you get these fingers of hoarfrost or rime that grows out.
That's really pretty.
Yeah, it's really, really. It makes great pictures. You can capture them.
I was driving along and started to head for the day.
Whoops, you got to watch
it. I better watch what I'm doing here.
Or even these snows we've had where it's really light and they've been covering trees. You know, when you go through forested areas or just, you know, urban areas with a lot of trees, it's just really pretty.
Yeah. And now with driving through the city last night and the snow, those folks that put out Christmas lights on their shrubs and so forth, and now there's a little snow over the top.
Yeah.
And then the light from
kind of shines through it,
through it. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really. It's cold, but it's pretty.
It's cold, but pretty.
That's why we live here.
Steve Ackerman, director of the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies, our guest at the UW-Madison, and he's going to be with us right up until 12:30. So if you have a weather or climate question, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at the weather with our weather guy, Steve Ackerman, director of the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies at UW-Madison. He's also a professor in the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences. And, of course, one half of the weather guys.
One half of the weather guys. The other one's on the road trying to beat a storm, I think, as he's driving to visit family.
Well, Steve, it's great to have you here. And certainly let's extend an invitation. If you have a question for Steve or maybe a comment about the weather, call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And if you've got some photos, weather photos, certainly love to see those as well. So you can post those up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Let's go to Pete in La Crosse. Pete, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry and Steve. Yep. I'm going to be installing aluminum shingles on my house next summer. And for those who aren't familiar, the overlap between courses is only about an inch or so. You know, it's a good shingle. It's windproof and rotproof. But I'm wondering what combination of rate of rainfall and wind speeds do I need to be concerned about where it'll be sufficient to blow the rainwater up a 412 slope and perhaps get under the shingles? You know, how do I figure that out?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I would call up my brother, who's in construction. Ask him what.
Well, I talked to the home remodeling guys 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, what'd they say?
they didn't go anywhere. Where that they did, you know, say to check with the manufacturer's literature, and they talk about a wind blow-off speed of 155 miles an hour, but they don't mention rainfall rates.
Hmm. So in the rainfall, though, I think it would be hard. I'd be worried more about, you know, ice damming and ice flowing up, because most of the rain is going to try and go down. And with the overlap, you said it was an inch or so?
It's an inch, right.
Yeah, yeah. Then that's probably not that much of a problem, unless you have really strong winds that are blowing it horizontal. And then I think you'd have more of an issue with wind.
You'd have more problems.
Yeah, help will fall down at some speed, and, you know, probably not that much greater than the 155 mile an hour blow off speed they're rated for.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would worry. Did they say anything about ice damming and, you know, when the ice backs up?
Yeah, an ice dam membrane for the first 6 to 10 feet.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, the aluminum shingles, they shed snow pretty well, so I think that's going to be even less of a problem than it is now with my asphalt shingles.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they do. They're a lot slipperier, so I'd be careful going up there, too.
But, yeah.
Right. Yeah, when there's dew on the roof, I'm not going up there.
Yeah, right,
no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So don't
where would
do
they
that,
start
Pete.
Looking for this information?
Boy, yeah, I would have guessed the manufacturer, but you already tried that.
Right.
I'd still post a question to them.
Yeah, right, and see what they say. I imagine, again, that rain's not going to be the issue. It's mostly going to be the wind speed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we don't get that many 155 mile per hour winds, fortunately.
Fortunately. Yeah. Good luck, Pete. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And Ray in Rhinelander, your turn. Hi, Ray. Thank you for calling. Hello, Ray. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's amazing the weather changes this year. And I remember growing up where there was more consistency with extreme cold and stuff. You could pretty much predict things. I have two quick questions for the person there.
Yeah.
Why is it that nowadays we have these variances in extremes? And another thing I noticed, I've lived in different parts of the United States and the world for off and on in the past, and I seem to have noticed that in some areas the winters were kind of like a drier winter, where the humidity wasn't as intense, and actually when it was a lot colder, when it was a drier type of winter, it was easier to handle than that deathly cold, damp stuff. And I'll take the answer off the air.
All right.
Yeah, that's an interesting question with regard to the cold air and whether or not it feels colder in a dry environment versus a humid environment. And John and I had looked at this a couple of years ago, and we think the humid part, while it feels so cold, is the humidity or the perspiration that you're always giving off, even if you don't know you're sweating, you're giving off water vapor. Tends to stick around in your clothes longer, we think, and that helps me feel like it's the damp cold seems definitely colder. And as for the extremes, you know, we've been pretty cold all month.
Yeah. That's for sure.
And so, right, yeah. And so, and the precipitation, you know, hasn't been all that crazy or extreme. I mean, we've been getting a lot, but again, it's not a record-setting December month. And in terms of temperatures, I'd have to look at in terms of extremes with regard to rapid changes from being really warm one day and then really cold the next day. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that. And you can join in, too, by the way. We have open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly here. Love to hear from you. Mike emailed us and says we have a summer home on a seepage lake in western Oneida County. The water level is 4 to 4.5 feet below normal, giving us a sandy beach about 30 feet wide. Since 1954, low water levels have occurred maybe 2 years out of each decade, but never more than 3 consecutive years. Is this just a local phenomena, or is there a region-wide drought?
Yeah, you know, I think it's more of a regional-wide impact that we've been seeing for a couple of years. The Great Lakes levels have been down, in particular Superior and Huron, Michigan, ever since in the late 90s, I'd say. And it seems like a lot of inland lakes as well, and particularly the seepage ones further up north, seem to have had lower levels of water in them than normal. So it seems like we had that 97, 98 real dry spell in terms of snowfall, and we just haven't quite caught up to that yet.
I mean, we've made some progress.
Southern parts of the state, a lot more progress, and I think we made that up because of that 2007, 2008 year where we had a lot of snow and a lot of flooding and a lot of lake levels were high, but not so much up in the north parts of the state.
We have some more callers online. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. There was actually an interesting story down in the Janesville area, I think it was. I was watching it on the news. There was an ice rink, and the ice was not melting or was not freezing. The water wasn't freezing.
Really?
Into a proper ice. And they couldn't figure out. People were having trouble figuring out. I mean, it's just as cold there.
Wow, huh? So it was an outdoor rink?
An outdoor rink.
And it wouldn't, Well, that is, I mean, the only thing I could think there is that it was, you know, the ground wasn't frozen down there. And so it's getting heat from below. That would be the only thing. But they've had really cold temperatures too.
Yeah, just as cold there as here. Yeah. Scott and Dorothy, but that makes sense that it's not frozen underneath, and that's why it's not.
That's what, right, yeah, that it would still draw heat up.
Scott in Door County. Hi, Scott.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm not sure if my question fits your topic. I just turned the radio on and heard a gentleman asking a question about some roofing issues with regards to weather, and I've got a similar question. Mm-hmm. I have a home with no garage and no basement, and I needed some storage. So I put in a an attic door, with a ladder that I can climb up into, and I had to remove some blown insulation in the attic to make room for the storage. So I've been watching the roof to see if there's any change in the rate of snowmelt in that area in comparison with the rest of the roof.
Uh-huh.
Haven't noticed anything, and I'm wondering if that's a good indication that my boxes of junk have an R value that might be making up for the removed insulation.
It might. But you know what I would look for is early in the fall, so we've already passed that, but maybe in the springtime, look for frost formation on the roof. That'll give you a better indication, I think, because once the snow gets up there, snow's a great insulator as well. So it's just probably not going to change very much unless it gets blown off or it gets really warm. But I would look for where frost forms, and where the frost is forming, then you probably have good insulation below it because the roof is going to cool off really quickly and the frost will form. And if you don't have good insulation, then the heat from your house is going to leak up and warm the roof and keep frost from forming.
Hmm. Okay, so I only did this to half the attic. So if I see a dividing line where the undisturbed insulation is forming frost and the other half isn't, that would indicate that I've lost some insulation value then.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Good luck.
One other quick question for you. I'm still not quite sure of the topic of the show. Am I on topic?
Well, we're talking about weather and everything is related to the weather.
Weather and climate.
Okay. Well, then this is probably not. This is more of a heating and cooling issue. So I think I'll let that go for another show.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks
for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Scott. Jerry and Abrams, it's your turn. Hi.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hello.
It's about time we get a couple warm days here in Wisconsin, but I was wondering if there was any good news for the month of January or the rest of the winter as far as weather goes, and I could take my answer off air.
All right. Thank you for calling. So the outlook.
Yeah, the outlook is, again, for the next week to 2 weeks, we're expecting colder than normal temperatures. For the rest of the season, there's no real signal. John had looked at this before he left in terms of, you know, if we have a cold December, does that mean we're going to have a cold January? And the answer is no. We could actually, we've had cases where we've had really cold Decembers and really warm Januaries. So for those of you who hate cold weather, there is hope that, and as far as forecast, it's really, there's nothing really driving this. So to make that 1 month, 2 month forecast is pretty hard.
All right. Let's turn to Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, my question is, I've been doing some reading on this whole global warming phenomenon, and there seems to be two schools of thought, assuming that it's real. There's been ice core studies that indicate there's about a 600,000 year elliptical orbit around the sun that makes this kind of expectable phenomenon. And then, of course, there's the carbon emissions theory. Wondering what your speaker feels is closer to being on spot, or whether this is just a lot of hooey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, global warming is occurring. As you point out, there is a long geological history in the change of the Earth climate that's associated with how it orbits, how the Earth orbits the sun. It's called the Milankovitch theory, named after a guy named Milankovitch. And actually, it was very controversial when he first came out with it. But it's been generally accepted because physically we've been able to explain it. And as Mike was pointing out, we can see these signals in the ice cores as well. But what we're seeing that we really haven't seen in the ice cores previously is the rapidity at which the warming across the globe is occurring. So that's occurring at a really faster rate than we've seen in the past, looking at ice cores.
There we go. Thank you very much. So that's it's
so
there.
So it's there, and then it's consistent with other things as well. You know, in terms of the ice sheets in the Arctic melting, generally slower snowfall amounts. Although, you know, there's always variability, and this year we're in a good variability of that, where we get a lot of snow.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Mike, for calling. We'll turn to Jack in Madison next. Thank you for calling, Jack. Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for the program. I have kind of a two-part question. I was worrying about the ice melting and in the Arctic, and if it has any effect on the Gulf Stream temperature, and if it does, what are the long-range implications of this? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question. And not so much of the ice that's already floating on the water, but when we start looking at the Greenland ice sheets that are melting, when they melt in the spring and the summer, as they always do, and then freeze again in the winter, the thing is now over an annual cycle, the loss in the summer and the spring is greater than the freezing that we get in the winter. What can happen, and this is still an area of current research, is that as you take fresh water, because the oceans are made of salt water, and fresh water is less dense. And so if you put a lot of fresh water into that North Atlantic, then the Gulf Stream, which is, you know, coming up the east coast of the North America, as it comes into that region, that's salty water, and it's going to interact with fresh water, and so it's going to dive down sooner than it normally does. And so people are looking at what happens to, you know, Iceland and Norway and that area, which is generally warmer because of the Gulf Stream and the warmer air that it brings with it, if we have a large influx of fresh water into the North Atlantic.
Hmm. So National Geographic did an interesting, I don't know, the story, how many issues ago back now? Is it one or two issues back of what would happen in terms of landmass, if the poles melted.
Rebound type?
And so they published, you know, here's what the world would look like.
Wow, that
it is really, really fascinating. And, you know, they were saying, okay, 200 years out now, or I forget what it was, 100 years out or 200 years out.
Wow,
if we have
yeah.
no... You know, certainly the whole coast is, you know, pretty much Florida's gone.
Got right, yeah, yeah.
For sure, and up and down the coast, and how all the countries would look so
different. Yeah.
Different.
So they did both the melting of the ice in the North and South Pole, mm-hmm. and then the rebound effect of the land, because once mm-hmm. you take that mass off, that land,
yeah.
you know, we're still coming up, actually. We're still rebounding North America from the last ice age.
Yeah, so it's...
Interesting. I'll have to look for that map.
Yeah, look for that story. And I think it's not the last issue. I think it was the issue before.
Issue before that? No.
Might be the issue before, or two issues back. My trouble with National Geographic is it takes me so long. It's like reading a book.
Yeah,
every
right.
issue is like reading a book. So I get behind in my reading, and then I've always have two or three going
right.
where I'm reading a story from each one.
Right.
And so therefore, I can never remember which issue had what.
But, right. Yeah.
Oh, man. We had an email from Norma, I think. Let me see here if I can get Norma's email up. Where can you find exact snowfall totals? I have a, this is what Norma says, I have a snow removal service that goes by snow totals at Dane County Regional Airport. One time I didn't think there was enough snow for the person to come and so shoveled it herself. He came later and was kind of mad that it's already been done, you know, because that caused him some money. I have found precipitation by hour totals on the NOAA Dane County Airport website, but I can't find the snow totals. Is there a better site?
I'm going to give you a better site because I was actually looking that because I was wondering as well. It's a URL, and it's got more than the Dane County Airport because snowfall is so variable across the state. And it is mcc.sws.uiuc.edu. And that's from the Midwest Climate group. And so they do it for the entire upper Midwest, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin.
But do that once more for me, because I didn't get it all.
So it is mcc.sws.uiuc.edu.
UIUC.
Yeah. EDU. And they'll also give you the maps, the daily snow depth in inches, and they'll have a different page if you go around there for current snowfall. But they'll also go back, what was it, a day ago, 2 days ago, and up to a week back in time.
Yeah, I think we can post that up on, Marika, can we post that up on the Facebook page too? Got it? Got it already? She's Johnny on the spot there. Or Marika on the spot, I used to
know. Marika,
Johnny. Johnny. Marika on the spot, not Johnny on the spot. Marika on the spot. Well, a lot of folks are traveling this week, obviously. It's New Year's in between, coming home from Grandma's for Christmas. Or maybe they're on their way to Florida or wherever.
Florida, right? Warmer weather.
Anything to keep in mind here?
I would just, you know, we have a great time. I was thinking about this earlier. So when I used to live in Colorado, as I mentioned earlier, or even when we first moved here in Wisconsin in the late 80s, we would always drive back to New York. And this was pre-internet type of activities.
Yeah.
And so driving out wasn't so bad because I could look at the weather maps that we had, you know, in our department and things and get a sense of what it's going to look like. But coming back was always hard because I never had access to that. And now there's so much access to weather information, you know, on the web that's what I would do. And one still do it whenever we're going to travel. And that's why John left early. I think he looked at the weather map and thought, oh, okay,
Something's
getting
coming
out of here, right?
So we're getting out of here early. Yeah. Isn't it an amazing time?
It's an amazing time with the amount of information that we have.
Do you think there's, what's next? Do you wonder? Longer range, do you think it's ever really going to be possible to predict 2 months out or whatever?
People would have said no because there's just too much randomness to it. But now people are starting to change their mind around it. And that is that interface between what we call weather and climate, you know, that 3 week out, that seasonal forecast is where people are really trying to make improvements. If we could know what the weather was going to be like in February, you know, to as even half the accuracy to what we have the 2 or 3 day forecast, we'd be able to do a lot more planning. Maybe not personally, but certainly economically, socially, heating wise, all those things we would
be able to deal with. How much ice do you need? Are we going to have to spend more money on snow removal?
Right, yeah. You know, planning for cities would be so much more improved.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, here we are, the end of the year, and you're going to be back next year.
Going to be back in January, last Monday. It's time.
Have you got any words of wisdom? Other words of wisdom as we end out the new year?
You know, it's been a great year for 2013. You know, not too crazy a weather event in comparison to years like 2011 and 2012.
Yeah.
And looking forward, get outside, enjoy it,
yeah.
Enjoy the weather.
I am getting the cross-country skis out. We get back from Florida, then the skis come out.
Yeah, I've been a little scared. It's a little, I know Ann was trying to get me out the other day. And it's like 9 degrees. I don't want to go outside. Right? Let's wait till it gets to the 20s.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Thanks.
Steve Ackerman, our guest today, director of the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies at UW-Madison, also a professor, of course, in the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences. And, of course, he'll be back next year and back on probably the last Monday of the month, which is the normal time for him to be, he and John to be with us. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.